Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad to have you with us. Remember that when you tune in to Live with Lon or to any message I've ever done, what we're trying to give you is the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. That's our motto, and indeed today, that's what we're going to seek to do with the Lord's help. So, we're in a wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 12, and so let's pray, and we're going to dig in. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the wonderful Word of God and for the amazing truths that it teaches us, not just about salvation, but also about how to live once we're saved. And so, Lord, today, use your Word for that purpose in our life, and really grab our hearts, Lord, with your Word, and cause it to bring conviction and correction and encouragement and hope to our hearts. And Lord, once again, we pray against this virus. Bring a vaccine quickly and protect our families in the meantime. Lord, we ask for your mercy, Lord, upon us all. And now, we commit our time in the Word of God to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Okay. Well, as you know, we're going through the Gospels. We're trying to dig in and do an exegetical, expositional, verse-by-verse study of the Scripture. We're taking it at face value, what it means it says, and what it says it means. That's the way the Bible should be studied and interpreted, and that's what we're seeking to do. And today we're in Matthew chapter 12 to begin in a very famous passage, and we're only going to take part of Matthew 12 today because there's just, wow, so much in this chapter. So we'll cover the rest of it in the next couple weeks, but today the title of my message is, For Out of the Abundance of the Heart, the mouth speaketh. That's the old King James that I memorized here in Matthew chapter 12. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, there's a little bit that leads up to this. So let's begin. We're in Matthew chapter 12. And let's begin in verse 22. And as always, we're using the New King James translation of the Bible. Here we go, Matthew chapter 12. Verse 22. Then one was brought to him, Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, Could this be the son of David, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Beelzebub was another name that the Jews at this time had for the devil. And they said, you know, this man, Jesus, cast out demons by the power of the devil. And Jesus knew their thoughts, verse 25, and said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? That makes sense, right? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, Jesus' point is very simple, of course. A house divided against itself can't stand, so if I cast out demons, if I use Satan to cast his own demons out, then how in the world is my house going to stand? He's trying to point out how illogical what they're saying is. And he says, if I cast out demons by the devil, then who do your children cast them out? My followers cast them out by. This is silly. Then he says, verse 29, Or else, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds, ties up the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? What's the point? Hey, the point is, if you're going to go in and cast demons out of Satan's house, of his kingdom, then you got to be stronger. If a man's going to plunder a man's house, he's got to be stronger than that man to be able to tie him up and subdue him, and then he plunders his house. Jesus' point is, the only way I can cast out demons is if I'm stronger than those demons, if I'm stronger than Satan. And he's making the point that he's God, for who else is stronger than Satan? And then he says, verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Now, this is what the rabbis were doing. They were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They were giving credit for the Holy Spirit's work to the devil, blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that will not be forgiven. Why? Because the only sin that can't be forgiven is unbelief. And when you're taking the work of God and you're crediting it to Satan, well, you're obviously, therefore, not going to believe. He goes on to say, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, meaning Jesus while he was here on earth, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Now, I don't want to spend much time on this, but this brings us to the issue of the unpardonable sin. I've met many people who are convinced they've committed the unpardonable sin. Folks, I'm sorry. You can't commit the unpardonable sin today. You say, well, what are you talking about? Would you notice here? Look back at the verse. Verse 32, in order to commit the unpardonable sin, then the Son of Man has to be here on earth, where you can blaspheme him or speak a word against him, but the Holy Spirit, who is empowering him, if you speak a word against him, it will not be forgiven. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was in a unique situation where both the Son of Man, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were both working at the same time here on earth. Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowering Jesus. Well, folks, that situation doesn't exist today. Jesus is not here on earth as the Son of Man. You can't speak a word against him as Jesus, the Son of Man, here on earth. He's not here. So this was a unique situation that only existed during the Gospels, and once Jesus went back to heaven, it doesn't exist anymore. Now, if you want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're blaspheming all of the Godhead. Do you understand? And as a way of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that means unbelief. So the only unpardonable sin today is unbelief. Every other sin you ever commit can be pardoned by the grace of God and the mercy of God, so long as you give your heart and your life to Jesus. So forget the idea that you've committed the unpardonable sin. You haven't. You can't in this age. So don't worry about it. It can't be done. Just make sure you believe in Jesus. All right, now to our passage for today. I just couldn't let those things go by without covering them. Verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. O brood of vipers, that's what he calls the Pharisees, the rabbis, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is how I memorized it in King James. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Watch, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, good words. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil words. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, let me tell you why Jesus says, by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Because remember what he's saying here. He's saying that our mouth is a barometer of our heart. That what out of the abundance of the heart, that's what comes out of our mouth. They're directly connected. Not anatomically, but they are spiritually. And so Jesus says, I'm going to judge people by their words because their words reveal their heart. I'm really judging their heart, but I'm using their words to do it. Now, couldn't Jesus look into men's hearts and judge their hearts directly? Yes, he could. So why does he say here he's going to use their words to judge them? I'm not sure, but he means that their words reveal their heart, and he's going to judge their heart. Okay, so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your mouth does, my mouth does, every mouth does. Now, this goes along with another passage in the Gospels that I want to show you. That's in Mark chapter 7. It's also in Matthew, but I want to use the Mark passage. Mark chapter 7. Here we go, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat, Mark's explaining this to us, unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of their elders. By the way, the Bible never says you have to wash your hands before you eat. This is something the rabbis came up with as one of their traditions. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash their hands. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and kushas. That's like bowls. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, I want us to skip down when Jesus answers that question. And when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said, hear me, everyone, and understand, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, like, what does it mean? And Jesus said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Food he's talking about, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thereby purifying all foods. Jesus was saying, any food is okay, it doesn't go into your heart. And he said, that which comes out of a man, that defiles a man. Now watch. For within a man, within people, out of the heart of men, watch, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, sexual sin, murders, thefts, covetousness, greed and envy, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, that means lust, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. But I love what he said in concluding Matthew's copy of this same story. He said, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, this is an amazing truth Jesus is giving us here. What he's telling us is that what defiles a person comes out of his mouth, because it's coming from his heart. And would you look and see the sins that he denotates here in Mark chapter 7. He pretty much covers them all. Look at what he says here. He says in verse 21, for out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, So even if you don't say it out loud, there are some people who have really good control over their mouth. I don't, but many people do. And they're very circumspect about whatever comes out of their mouth. But as long as they're thinking it, you know, they might not say it, but if they're thinking those evil thoughts about people, they're still defiling themselves. You remember, you see what Jesus is saying? And out of the mouth comes adulteries, fornications, sexual sin. You ever want to know why people have a dirty mouth? And while they always are telling lewd and nasty jokes, because they have in their heart adulteries and fornications. All right, let's go on. And also he says the next thing is murders. Well, Jesus said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer in your heart. He's talking about hate that's in our heart for other people. Thefts, now covetousness, that is desiring in our heart what other people have. Wickedness, well, that speaks for itself. Deceit, people who speak deceitfully and scheme and plan, that's coming out of their heart. Lust, licentiousness, and an evil eye. Why do people lust after women and lust after men and have an eye of lust? Because it's coming out of their heart. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come out of a man's heart and a woman's heart. Now, that's a pretty extensive list. And I got to tell you, when I look at my heart and I look at what comes out of my mouth, it's not pretty. When I look at what doesn't come out of my mouth, because I somehow managed to keep my mouth shut, but it's in my mind. And if I didn't force my mouth to be shut, I would say it. Wow. Evil, evil stuff we're talking about here. And we're all like this. We all have this evil that lives in our heart. And you can see it because it comes out of our mouth. Greed, slander, rumor mongering, gossip, unkind things we say about other people, critical things we say about other people, nasty things we say about other people, scheming we do again. All of this is in our heart. And that's why it comes out of our mouth. And so listen to what James says. I think we can all relate to what James chapter 3 says. It says, for no man can tame the tongue, James 3:8. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. James goes on to say, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No spring can yield both salt and fresh water. Wow. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage today, but we want to stop now. We want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? All right, come on now. Here we go. Nice and loud. One, two, three. So what? Yes. And as Jackie Gleason says, you know what he says. Say it with me. How sweet it is to hear that. So what? Yes, sir. So you say, Lon, I'm sure glad I came to this message today so that you could completely depress me. You know, friends, I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just trying to teach the word of God. And, you know, let's face it, if the shoe fits, wear it. And this shoe that we're talking about fits every single person, not just you and not just me. Every human being alive, this shoe fits. Why? Because every human being alive has an evil heart. We do. And the older we get in our walk with Christ, I believe the more we should understand and begin to appreciate the evil that lives in our fleshly heart. Now, I know Jesus comes into our life, and Jesus enables us to see some good things begin to grow in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to sublimate and subjugate, yes, these evil things in our heart. But they are there. And the way we know they're there is they come out of our mouth. I mean, I've been a Christian almost 50 years, almost. And I'll tell you, the stuff that comes out of my mouth, you know, it's terrible. Gossip and rumor mongering and criticism of other people and judging other people and negative comments about other people and hateful things about other people, which is murder, and things I should never say about members of the opposite sex, which is lustful, things that and I try hard to control these things, but they still leap out of my mouth anyway. They squeegee out of my mouth anyway. And was scheming and all this other stuff that comes out of my mouth. And you say, well, you're a pastor. You're not supposed to have these things. I know. I mean, I agree 100% with you. But the fact that I do still just shows you the evil of my fleshly heart. And folks, can we be honest? You got the same problem. Please don't sit out there and judge me and say, oh, you're terrible. Folks, that same stuff comes out of your mouth. And, you know, there's a lot of things I don't do anymore. I don't tell dirty jokes. I don't curse. But I got to tell you, those things all used to come out of my mouth. And those things still live in my heart. And I just have to sublimate them and subjugate them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does this mean for me practically? What does this mean for you practically? Well, the first thing it means is how great the grace of God is that he knew all this evil in our heart. I mean, he knows evil that lives in our heart that we don't even know lives there. That, you know, we're worse than we think. And Jesus loved us anyway and went to the cross for us anyway and died for us anyway and redeemed us anyway and was glad to make us his children anyway and take us to heaven anyway and give us a new glorified body where our heart isn't like that anyway. That's the first thing. It's amazing to me that Jesus did this. I love what John Newton, the great writer of Amazing Grace, who was a slave trader and a profane man, once said. He said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be surprised by three things. Number one, I'm going to be surprised by people who are here that I never expected to see here. Number two, I'm going to be surprised by people who aren't here that I was sure were going to be here. And number three, I'm going to be surprised that I'm here at all. And that's my that's my testimony. Knowing what lives in my heart, I'm surprised I'm going to be there at all, and you should be too. But the other application that I want to make here comes from Matthew chapter 7, from the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Look at this, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, verse 1, judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, friends, this does not mean that it's wrong to have a system of jurisprudence where we judge men for criminal activity. That's not what it means. Nor does it mean that it's wrong to judge men's credentials for serving as an elder or being a Sunday school teacher. No, we're told that we are to examine people for spiritual leadership. That's not what it means. It's talking about personal judgments that we pass on other people, personal judgments that we levy on other people. And look what it says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, that's scary. I don't want to be measured by the measure I use on other people, because sometimes I can be very judgmental of other people. But I want God to be merciful to me. I always am asking God to be merciful to me. And yet sometimes in my judgment of others, I'm not very merciful of them. And the no, God, please don't judge me with the judgments I judge other people for. Jesus says he's going to. That should make us very careful about this issue of judging other people. And look what he goes on to say. He says, and why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye, you hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And may I mention, if you and I become conscientious about trying to work on the plank in our own eye, there will never be a day we'll be worried about the speck in our brother's eye, because it'll take us the rest of our life, and we will never get the plank out of our own eye. Our hearts are evil, so the speck in our brother's eye will never become an issue if we're working on the plank in our own eye. And what Jesus says here is, in light of your heart, in light of what lives in your heart, my friend, how dare you judge your brother, who's an infraction in your mind, is a speck compared to what lives in your heart. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Romans 14 says, to his own master he'll stand or fall. Who are you to judge another member of the family of God, especially when you and I have what lives in our heart? If you don't believe it lives there, just listen to your mouth sometime and the junk that comes out of there. And it's just a barometer. It's just a litmus test, folks, of what lives in our heart, which is ugly and sinful and bad. All right. Now, the point of all this is good. It should cause us to become people who don't walk around judging other people. We walk around showing these other people mercy and compassion and pity, and we give them the benefit of the doubt, and we have a kind and generous mental attitude towards them. Why? Because in light of what lives in us, we're in no position to judge them. And when people would come to me and say, hey, have you heard what's happened at this church and that church, and they still do it, and they want me to comment, I say, hey, you know what? Now, I got more trouble at the church I was pastoring, that when I was pastoring there, than I can handle. I have no time to get involved in judging other churches or other pastors. And I meant that sincerely. And friend, when people come with personal judgments, we should say, look, I have so much trouble with my own heart and with dealing with all of the mess that's in my own heart. I'm sorry, but I have no right, no time, and no business judging other people. Because in light of where I am in my heart, boy, it's a speck what they got in their eye. So, friends, can we be nicer to one another as people in the body of Christ? Can we be nicer to people who are not in the body of Christ? Can we be less judgmental and more understanding and more merciful in our comments and our thoughts and more compassionate? I'm not saying that they don't have something worth judging. I'm saying that you and I are not the right ones to do it. I'm saying we have no business doing it with the beam that's in our own eye. And if we could just remember that more in church, whew, if we could just remember that more in life, number one, we would please God much more. Number two, we would be much more pleasant people to be around if we didn't have all that stuff coming out of our mouth. And number three, Jesus wouldn't have to say to us, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. Lon, how dare you judge somebody else in light of what's in your heart? Brother, you work on your heart, Lon. You got enough to keep you busy from now until the day you go into eternity with your heart. You worry about your heart. I'll worry about their heart. You worry about you. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment, let's take a moment and ask God to forgive us for the many judgmental things we think and say about others. And some of you may have a special person or two that you are just ruthless. You just wail on this person all the time. Stuff comes out of your mouth that is just so nasty and wrong and evil about them. Oh, let's ask God to forgive us and decide that we're going to see their issues as specks. Let's pray that. Ask God. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive us for being such judgmental folks, even as Christians. Lord, our tongue is a ruthless evil. But it's fired by the evil that's in our hearts. And God, help us to be honest enough to face that evil in our hearts, the plank, and to spend our time working on the plank and not the speck that's in our brother's eye. Forgive us, Lord. For who are we to judge another man's servant? Well, the point is, we're no one. We shouldn't. God, help us be careful with our words. And may the Holy Spirit, may we come to you and ask the Holy Spirit to more and more change our hearts and subdue and sublimate our hearts, subjugate that evil to new good that you put in our hearts by the power of the Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Well, the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, that's what I hope we gave you today, and I hope it's been convicting as well as hopeful. And let me just close with the benediction that Aaron gave the people of Israel because the Lord told him to. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Ya'er Adonai panav lecha vichunecha. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Please, Lord, in light of our heart, be gracious to us. Yisad Adonai panav lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord turn his face and not his back towards you. And may he give you peace. God bless. Lord willing. We'll see you next week on Live with Law.